Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the 2023 NECUSO Network here in Las Vegas. Oh my gosh, 2023, Jack Antonini.
I know, can you believe it?
Gosh, how time flies. I've spoken, where are my manners? Introductions. Everybody, NECUSO's very own Jack Antonini, like you don't know.
Right.
Like you don't know.
Yeah, you didn't have to introduce. We know each other.
We know you, yeah, of course. But, you know, how time flies, you know?
Yeah, sure does.
I mean, I started coming to these probably 7 or 8 years ago or something,
mm-hmm.
and the growth in that short of time, even just in the last few years, has been phenomenal. So I want to get your, before we talk about your career and your retirement and everything, share with me what your thoughts on the 2023 NECUSO and how it turned out, because we're kind of in the home stretch here.
Yeah. No, it's been very exciting, you know, we didn't really know how things would turn out after the pandemic hit, right? Because we were ready to do our conference in 2020, and then just literally weeks before, suddenly everything gets shut down.
Yeah.
We went through this real horrendous nightmare of trying to negotiate with everybody. On a Sunday afternoon, I got a $450,000 demand from Disney, and it's like, I have not formally canceled our conference yet. If you can still put it on, we'll have it.
Right on.
You know, all that kind of stuff.
Gosh,
so it took a while, but we ultimately negotiated our way out of it. So ultimately, you know, we ended up not having our next conference till the fall of 2021. We had 471 people here in Vegas for that conference.
Mm-hmm.
That was our new record. We had never had that
many
before.
Really?
The best we had done, we had around 450 in 2014, which was the first time we went to Disney World over on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And 40% of the people that came that year had never been to a NECUSO conference before. So getting to the East Coast seemed to make a difference, you know, just a different venue.
Yeah.
So then we're like, wow, that was a lot of people, but we were the first in-person meeting, so we didn't really know what to expect for Orlando last year, but we thought, well, let's hope for the best, you know, put on a good production, and we ended up with 506, which was pretty amazing, right?
Yeah.
So now this year we're like, well, okay, things should be kind of more back to normal, but we seem to think that we're hitting a little higher levels, you know, of attendees. So we budgeted for 475. And that, for this year, which is a pretty aggressive number, right? Because we used to average between 375 and 400.
Right.
That was kind of our normal.
Right.
But we ended up at 580.
Yeah, you exceed that by 100.
Which is amazing.
Easily.
So, yeah, by 100, which is, like, stunning. But the good news is we got some great people coming and talking. Like, we just heard Rachel Wilson, you know, talking about cybersecurity, which scares the crap out of me.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But it's something we need to know about, right? Because it just affects all of us. And she is such an expert. Thankfully, Seth had heard her previously, so he introduced her to us.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Once we reached out to her, she's like, oh, I would love to come and talk to your group, which was very nice.
Yeah.
Now, she understands the challenges that credit unions face, and she is a credit union member. When she was at the NSA, she was in a credit union, and she maintains her membership there, even though she works at Morgan Stanley, which I love.
How funny is that?
Isn't that great? So I thought that was really cool. You know, we got to have Jerry Rice this year, thanks to MasterCard.
Awesome.
He was amazing.
Awesome. Yeah.
One of our best keynoters ever, you know. And we've just had so many good people this year. Lots of good topics and everything, which I think helps. And then, you know, part of it has been the unique kind of way we've been pulling things together, you know, because we've always focused on innovative solutions, you know, through CUSOs, you know, leverage collaboration and be able to have member-focused solutions rather than something that's being provided by a for-profit company who's really concerned about the quarterly earnings more than they are about your members, right?
Yeah.
So we've always tried to find innovative solutions. That kind of then started to bring us in touch with the people in the fintech world. We started doing that Next Big Idea, you know, 11 years ago.
Love that.
And that helped us to connect more with those folks. And over time, we kind of became the crossroads, if you will, between credit unions, CUSOs, and fintechs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what's fueled the growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's been part of the reason why we've seen ever-increasing numbers. And people love to come and hear about new things that are going on.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Especially, you know, we've got Circle that's making investments. You got CUNA Mutual with their fund group that's making investments. Mm-hmm. We've got folks like Reseda that, you know, received an award this morning.
Yeah.
They're out there making investments. And when I first talked to April about that, I mean, her motive behind setting up Reseda was because she had smaller credit unions in Michigan that were asking her about, well, how can we do some of the things you're doing for your members? And so she was explaining these new things that they were finding, and she realized, you know what, in order to help the rest of the industry, we need to get them committed to being CUSOs and being, you know, focused on credit unions. So that's why they formed Reseda Group 2 years ago to start investing in them and get them to really be dedicated to credit unions and CUSOs. I love that. That's such a wonderful philosophy.
Yeah,
talk about people helping people. So all those kind of things, to me, just came together in the right way to really make sense. You know, then we've been blessed, you know, to have folks like Rodney Hood and Kyle Hauptmann come and talk, and they both were very exciting, you know, with what they shared yesterday, and they too embrace, you know, credit unions finding new innovative solutions as the way we're going to be able to help retain members, better serve our members, and compete with these giant financial institutions that are out there.
How refreshing is that, to have the NCUA board not only here, but very excited about what's coming down the turnpike, if you will. So
and expressing that they like coming here because they like meeting people and learning what's important. I love that. You know, that a regulator really wants to know what does the industry see as important. So it's been a blessing, you know, to be able to work with folks like that and, you know, kind of pull these different groups together to help with the conference. You know, so it's, I think that's partly why it's grown, and plus we have fun, you know, which is important, you know.
Yes,
so.
Yes, you do. And I heard there were a lot more, like, smaller credit unions here this year, and you had specific sessions dedicated to those folks as well. So kudos to you guys for really recognizing that group, the real backbone of our industry. So you really got to step up and recognize those. And I think they were very appreciative of it. Because we had Lily Neufarmer in here talking about that, and Tom Sakash from the Small Credit Union Committee.
Nice,
so
nice.
What a great interview. I can't wait to post that one. But
that's
so
awesome.
Cool that you guys did that for them. So,
well, and part of the solution, you know, which again, Rodney talked about it, you know, when he spoke yesterday, Rodney Hood, CUSOs really help the smaller credit unions.
Yeah, they do.
They help them to not only survive, but to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at some of the smaller ones, like Linda Bodie.
She's the first person I was thinking of, too.
Exactly, right? I mean, she received wonderful recognition, you know, from the Herb Wegner Award. Exactly. So well-deserved. And, you know, we spoke to her several years ago, and she was doing such amazing things with a relatively little credit union because she was leveraging CUSOs.
And
she was so articulate about it, and which ones she worked with, which ones she had some ownership in.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful and such a great example. So from seeing that and learning that with her, we realized, okay, there is even more that we could be doing to try to help the smaller credit unions. We tended to be kind of mid-sized and larger were coming here because they were already recognizing the benefits of CUSOs.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, let's not continue to see the industry shrink and go away. I mean, not that we are losing members, but, you know, we're losing credit unions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, CUSOs are an answer to help with that. So that was part of why we put the small credit union workshop together.
Love
and
it.
Got great response to that, which was wonderful and really good attendance. And
gives them an opportunity, like you said, it gives them an opportunity to thrive. Because they are very, I mean, talk about locally community connected. Those smaller ones are really connected to their communities, and it's so vital to keep them going, for sure. So,
I agree.
Yeah.
And I know that even when they merge with other organizations, it's not that that goes away, but you still don't have that same community focus that you do when you're headquartered in that community.
Yep.
And that's what we wanted to try to help preserve.
Yep.
You know, so there's been a lot of work that's been going on to, you know, called the CUSO Challenge. We've been participating in that for a long time and stuff. Different ways to try to help communicate to the smaller credit unions that they do have a lot of good options out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just just a difficult road, you know?
Yep, gotcha, so, gotcha.
All very right. exciting.
Let's switch gears a little bit to your CUSO career, if you will.
Yes.
So for those who don't know, when did you come to CUSO, and why did you come to CUSO?
Well, I came to CUSO in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, I had met Sarah Kanipa Bang in my prior life. I was the CEO at a place called Cardtronics.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went there, we were selling ATM machines to little mom and pop merchants, you know, where they would put them in their store so people could buy with cash. I was trying to help them find a new CEO, and I went and spoke at a banking conference, which I did several times in my banking career, and I happened to go and listen to NCR and Wells Fargo talk about some of the new things they were doing with ATMs. And it's like, that's pretty exciting. And you know what? The cheapest way ever for a member or a customer to get access to cash is always going to be through an ATM. So I called up the recruiter and said, here's an idea for you. You know, find someone that could help to transform this business into somebody that supports credit unions and banks,
yeah,
you know, instead of just selling to mom and pop merchants. So she calls me back a little while later. It's like, you need to come here and just, you know, commit for a couple of years just to help them. It's like, okay. So along the way, I end up meeting Sarah. We bought the 7-Eleven portfolio. We did a lot of acquisitions and bought 7-Eleven's portfolio. And Sarah was using that for shared branching because they had these 2,200 very advanced function machines that were very expensive, but they could do everything you could do with a teller, mm-hmm, which was really cool. Yeah. So
especially at that time.
Yes. So I talked with Sarah, this was back in 2007 when we bought that. I talked with Sarah and said, look, where could you best use these? You know, because they kind of just scattered them in all different places. And I said, I will move them to places where more credit union members will benefit, which is not an inexpensive proposition, but she really appreciated our focus on members. And I told her, it's like, when I worked at USAA, I came to love members and love the member owners and want to really take care of them. And I identify that with credit mm-hmm, unions, right? Mm-hmm. My father was on the board of the credit union that was at his company where he worked and everything. And I grew up around credit unions. You know, that was a natural to me.
Yeah.
So I had worked at USAA for 11 years. And when I left Cardtronics, I ended up staying there for 6.5 years, basically. Took the company public. We went from being 7th or 8th biggest in the United States to the largest in the world.
Oh.
We started offering bank branding, which nobody had done before. When I retired, 7 of the top 11 retailers in America and 6 of the top 10 banks were our clients.
Good.
And we had none of those when I went there, which was really exciting, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
But Sarah, she talked to me and she said, look, Nikuso would love to hear about the things that happen at USAA since you ran their bank. Would you be willing to come and share that? It's like, yeah, sure. Who's Nikuso? So she tells me all about Nikuso. And so I came here in 2010 to Vegas, to the Wynn, ironically, and spoke here about USAA and what I called lessons learned from USAA and how to apply them in your credit union,
mm-hmm,
and shared the different things that were part of General McDermott's vision, who was the chair and the CEO of the company that I got the pleasure of working for. And that's kind of how I met Nikuso, was through Sarah, which
amazing,
was kind of ironic.
Well, isn't Sarah Bang the straw that stirs the drink around here?
Oh my gosh.
She's
incredible,
she's into everything,
right?
For sure, yeah. exactly. An amazing, amazing human being, for sure.
Yes.
So in that time span, what are some of the biggest changes? Or you don't have to list a whole bunch, but maybe one or two big changes that you've seen in Nikuso, besides the growth
and the
fintech connection and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What other things have you seen that have really kind of propelled this organization to what it is today?
Well, part of it, I think, has been the focus on advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we realize that if we really want to have innovative solutions, you got to have a regulatory environment
mm-hmm.
that is conducive to that.
Yeah.
Dennis Dollar talked about that today.
Yeah.
You know, that the regulatory environment is either conducive and embraces and helps, you know, for you to find innovative solutions, or it prohibits, it makes it too costly, it makes it difficult. So we decided to get very active on trying to promote that. You know, we went out and said, look, this is what we want to do to try to help with creating this kind of environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so with Dennis's help and with Guy's help and Brian's help, you know, from Messick, Lauer and Smith, we started to really lobby with the folks up at the NCUA. And we found, surprisingly, some really good receptivity, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to have some big wins along the way, like, you know, the risk-based capital rule basically was going to put a 250% risk weighting on CUSO investment, which really effectively killed CUSO investment for credit unions. And when we met with Chairman Matz at the GAC and she brought her whole senior staff with her, I asked the question, it's like, where did you come up with 250%? And so she asked the general counsel to explain it. And the general counsel's like, well, we did you a huge favor because banks have to set aside up to 400 and 600% for risk-based capital in the subsidiaries that they do. It's like, wait a minute. I've been a CEO and a CFO of banks before. I've done the calculation before. I've read every risk-based capital accord that came out of Basel, Switzerland. I don't remember those. I mean, the places that I was at didn't do any of that. So she said, we will get you exactly what it was so that way you can look at it, which was very gracious.
Right.
Once I got it, there are opportunities that banks can invest in, like an angel investor or like a private equity investor, where the only way they're ever going to see a single dime is if they ultimately are able to sell that company. There's no income that comes from it or anything else. But those are very high risk,
yeah,
you know, and so that's why they had 400 and 600% risk weightings. So when I look at it then, it's like, well, what's most comparable to a bank, to the CUSO? It was called a bank service corporation. Bank service corporations are 100% owned and fully consolidated into the bank, and therefore at a 100% risk weighting. Mm-hmm. So I went to the head of the financial institutions practice at the largest law firm in America, mm-hmm. who had become a friend from when I was at USAA. We worked together on projects. And said, look, could you write a letter that explains what bank service corporations are and how they're similar to CUSOs? And I explained the whole situation to him. He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. He goes, that is exactly what's comparable to a CUSO. Oh. So he wrote this all out in great detail. Yeah. He's very, very well respected because of his position.
Yeah.
I took it back to the NCUA, and they said, son of a gun, we were wrong. Thank you. We'll put it at 100%, which was awesome.
Wow.
So to their credit, I mean, they listened,
yeah.
right?
And right.
those kind of things, I think, really made a difference for us and let us have a bigger impact and, you know, start to do more.
Yeah.
So I think the advocacy has been something that's made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other aspect of it, I think, is just trying to get more members to be able to support both NCUSO and, you know, the collaborative mm-hmm. efforts. You know, mm-hmm. we try to focus on education, helping people to find like-minded executives that they might want to collaborate
yeah.
with,
yeah.
and then helping on advocacy. So as we, and then innovative solutions. So as we looked at those things, you know, getting more people to the conference, helping more people to find someone that they could partner with
yes.
all made sense.
Yes.
So we did a lot of things to experiment along the way. And what we ended up with for the last few conferences is basically a sign at the breakfast and lunch tables that said, you know, this one's going to talk about blockchain and or AI
yeah.
or whatever the topic might yeah. be. So then people could find each other and talk to one another yeah. and be able to share
Love
ideas
that.
And
Love
things.
It.
So we went through various iterations of what we called partner connection mm-hmm. sessions just to help them find somebody else that they could collaborate with. And that came out to be the most easy because you'd like to talk to people when you're having a meal and you can chat and talk
exactly.
and it's not
it's
taking
easy.
Up a lot of time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
those are the kind of things that we started doing that I think made a difference and, you know, helped us to be able to grow mm-hmm. and be able to do some unique developments of CUSOs,
mm-hmm.
you know, to help find things like
and
that.
And I've heard a bunch of stories here about how various organizations here, various CUSOs, have met up. This is kind of like the catalyst of partnerships.
Yes,
the CUSO
yes,
is, or
yes.
this conference is. And I've heard so many stories just at this one
mm-hmm.
about different companies coming together and partnering up and complementing their products and services and then going and helping credit unions out there. So,
exactly.
I mean,
which
kudos
is really
to you guys
cool.
for putting those together. You're kind of like a matchmaker, Jack. So.
Well, yeah, a little bit, right? But, I mean, that's kind of what we're trying to do
exactly.
to help members, right?
Right, right.
So, like, you know, two of the guys that were judges on our Next Big Idea this year, who won last year in Orlando,
yep.
was Malin Borkar, mm-hmm. who was at Luma Labs,
yep.
and then Karan Kashyap, who's from Posh. Mm-hmm. I mean, they took this incredible voice authentication technology that Aluma had
yeah.
together with the AI capability and the bot capability mm-hmm. that Posh had and put it together,
pretty
integrated
powerful.
Them,
mm-hmm.
and it was very powerful,
yeah.
right? So collaboration, even among the folks who were collaborating,
yeah. Yeah.
you know, became a great solution. So, I mean, and I love those examples because then it gets other people thinking about
exactly.
it. It's like, well, maybe we could do something,
mm-hmm.
work together. So I think you saw more of that this year than maybe in the past
mm-hmm.
because when we had those guys on there last year at the Next Big Idea, and people realize that, gee, CUSOs can work together and make it even better
yeah.
Solution.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool thing.
It's very infectious in a good way when you
it
see
is.
Something like that. That momentum really
yeah, it's
carries
exciting.
Itself. So what's your advice? Obviously, the big news is that you're retiring. So,
right.
But what's your advice for the next person coming in to head up NCUSO? You have set the table superbly for the next person coming in. So
mm-hmm.
what would be your advice based on what you've learned over the last, 13
years?
13
years, yeah.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that I would do, which is what I did when I came to NCUSO, and I called every single partner, I called every single one of our major members, I asked them, who else should I talk to? How do I meet other people in the
mm-hmm.
industry to
mm-hmm.
understand? Where can we help? Where can
yeah.
we make a difference,
yeah.
right? I think we're in a very good place doing that right now, but I would advise whoever it is that takes this job, really listen, take the time to talk to the members,
yeah.
talk to the people out there who are really making a difference and
mm-hmm.
who are collaborating.
Mm-hmm.
They'll share with you if you ask. You know, they'll give you good ideas, ways that we can help, ways that we can make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a real key.
Yeah.
And it helps us both to understand where can we do more advocacy that can be helpful,
yeah.
where can we find more ways to be able to help bring innovative solutions, other things that we can help with. We learn through that by listening to the folks who are closest to
yeah.
it, you know,
yeah.
closest to the issues. So I think that's important. I think, you know, working closely with the board has been great because we have a wonderful board and we've enjoyed a great board at the whole time I've been with NACUSO. I mean, back when I joined NACUSO, they expected me to serve on the board, and it's like, we have a limited board. Why would I want to take up a space where I could get somebody else from the industry who can share more insights with us, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to be at every board meeting anyway because I'm the CEO, so why do I need to take up a board seat, you know? So, so I again, would encourage the next person to really listen to the board, tap into that expertise. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody will just offer it, although the board will be more outgoing in meetings and things like that, but if you ask, people will share with you and they'll give you great insights. I mean, it really, really helps.
Yeah.
So to me, that's one of the biggest things. Continue the great work that you know, Brian and Guy helped along with Dennis Dollar that we were able to do on the advocacy side. I think that there's still a lot of important things that we can do there. I mean, we got the expansion of CUSO Powers, which we worked on that for years. I mean, way back under Chairman Matt, she sent me a letter back in 2016 saying that she agreed with what we were asking for, and she tasked General Counsel to work on it.
Right on.
And, I mean, so it just took so long because of resistance in the staff, I think. But, you know, now we're working on being able to get the ability for more loans to be more easily traded between credit unions and CUSOs and things. So it just helps the credit unions that may be challenged with loan growth to be able to get loan growth and get the margin that they need and things like that. So I think there's more of those kind of things that we can do as an industry. So I would, again, continue to encourage that kind of activity. Talking to folks and you'll understand where the opportunities are. So.
Definitely.
That, to me, is kind of the best advice that I could give.
Good stuff, good stuff. And rumor has it that you're not going to stray too far. That you're going to kind of keep your big toe in here for sure. So kind of volunteer or something like that. So
I mean,
once it gets into your blood, it's really hard to get out. So.
It is.
And
so
you,
true.
I mean, and going back to your kind of your history, the credit unions have been in your blood since, you know, when you're talking about your dad. You're a lifer, Jack. Congratulations.
Yeah, exactly.
in a good way for sure.
That's right.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much for what you have done for the industry, because I see NACUSO as, and I think a lot of other people will see it this way, as really another, again, I'm going to use the word catalyst, of really pushing this industry forward with all these companies that come together to serve credit unions, and the credit unions are serving them as well. It's really a two-way, symbiotic relationship, if you will.
Well said. Well said. Good vocabulary.
Well, I'm trying. So that's how I see NACUSO, and I see it just getting more and more prominent in that area and pushing the industry, because I think we'll all be in agreement. This industry really needs to be pushed. Because there's other areas, you know, the big banks and other fintechs who don't want to work with us are going to push no matter what.
Yeah.
And they're nipping at our heels for sure. So what you guys have done here has just been fantastic. And the momentum, you can feel it in this room.
Yeah,
the momentum is really going. There's a lot of energy here. So
there is.
Kudos to you. And again, I'm just going to go back to you. Thank you for what you have done
for
the industry.
So much.
And you
as well. You've helped so much to communicate good things out there and to help more people understand the opportunities. You've done a wonderful job.
We're trying. Thank you very much, Jack. And to have you be a part of that has been really special as well. Because every time I see Jack Antonini on my calendar, it's like, all right, I get to talk to Jack. And I know I'm going to learn a ton. Not only am I going to have fun with you, but I'm going to learn a ton, too, because you have a wealth of information that is invaluable to this industry. So thank you for everything that you've done, Jack. And glad that you're not straying too far. So,
thank you.
You are welcome, sir. Everybody, Jack Antonini from NACUSO, wonderful human being and a great guy and a great advocate for credit unions as well. Well done, sir.
Well done, sir. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, man, and an honor. Well done, sir.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stearns' new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.